stopping the testimonies. I'm just getting ready for what comes next. If we all go out to a restaurant, we all going to eat, right? Then they come around to end and they say, we've got this chocolate mousse, or we've got this cobbler, or we've got ice cream, or we've got this. And what they're trying to tell you is the best is yet to come. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. So I'm not stopping anything. I just want to get up here because right now, the Mary Sluters and the others are beckoning and begging you, say, if you're not saved, it's all over the house. If you're not saved, come. It's just a communal woe, a judgment unto all of us is ours. But it's a community invitation saying, just come. But I won't be here when the Spirit says come. I won't be here whenever the bride's ready to go. But listen to me. I want you to take just a look. And I know you folks down here up here in the choir can't see this, but is this the prettiest thing, Brother Kenny, on this communion table? Do y'all think these are up here for decorations? Anybody here think these are up here for decorations? Luke, are them up there for decorations? What's on that communion table to beautify the place right here? It'd have to be this flower arrangement, is it not? Is that not what was put up here, Brother John, to make it look pretty, right? Brother John in our Sunday school class, I'm putting it up here so y'all can see it. Brother John in our Sunday school class this morning, we've got a whiteboard in there, and he took on the whiteboard. He kind of drew out an umbrella. And under the umbrella, he put all the things that we, the class, would attribute to our salvation experience. Be it eternal life or peace or mercy, all those things that were under that canopy. But the canopy had one word over the top of it, Brother John. And that one word was grace. Like I said, I'm not stopping anything. I just want to show you what God gave me for this message today. Don't even know if I'll preach the message, but I'm going to give you the illustration. We're doing it all backward because I truly thought that it would be a message. And then at the very end of the service, I would use the illustration that God has given me, and then we would go home. But God saw fit to do it different. He's given us the illustration at the beginning of the service that he might do something toward the end of the service. But I want to pause for just a moment. For anybody else that needs to pop up, Brother Joe, we're praying for you. Praying for others in here, all over the house. We're praying for you. We've not forgot you. But at this particular time, I'm not praying for Brother Woody Dow's lymphoma. Brother Tim, I'm not praying right now concerning your bone marrow cancer. I'm not. I'm not praying concerning your recovery from your recent surgery, Brother Reggie or Miss Taylor. I appreciate you being here. You just had surgery. Just over a week ago. Right now, we're praying that somebody gets saved by God's grace. That's what it's all about right now. So if you've got something, you jump up. How many of you in here are just almost beside yourself because warm weather's here? I mean, it's finally springtime. Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Y'all just love cold, dark winters and long, lonely nights of gray skies. I don't. My wife, bless her heart, if she lived in a dark room in a dark house, we'd take out a window or a wall, or we'd put in a window, do something. She just loves light. Amen. With the advent of spring and the coming on of summer, there's a few things that takes place. We get outside more. Your husband not here, Miss Jenny. He's here somewhere. Brother Keith, is he back there? Is he downstairs? Right there he is. Brother Keith, you remember 2 years ago I sent you a picture from the beach? We had been out there, and while I was out there, I sent you a picture. I'd done two things. First time I'd ever done it. I had shaved my head, and you probably would laugh about that and say, well, your head's already bald. No, I mean, I had shaved this. And the next picture I sent Brother Keith was a picture of my back. You remember that, Brother Keith? My back had blisters. And my blisters had blisters. And on top of those blisters were more blisters. You see, we had gone outside, and Brother Kenny, we'd stay just a little while out there, and my wife had just smothered the kids with sunscreen. I mean, sometimes it's just that way. You go out, you take Bella and you take Eli. I'm guaranteeing your wife, them being kind of fair skinned, is going to just smother them up in sunscreen. Am I right or wrong? We've been out there, I don't know, for a few hours, and they're all frolicking and playing and having a grand old time. And I said, I feel like I'm getting hot. Cindy asked me the question that still rings so wonderfully in my ears. She said, did you put on any sunscreen? And I said, I did. And I said, but I wasn't going to be out here too long. Let me just ask you, how long do you have to be exposed unto sin before sin becomes a problem unto you? I'm telling you what, grace, if this were a bouquet of grace, that's beautiful. Is that not beautiful? I'm going to just preach for a minute. Can I preach just a minute? If that thing was a bouquet of grace, is that not beautiful? Is grace not a beautiful thing? I mean, when you look into that beautiful face of the Almighty God and how that He loved us so much that He gave us His only begotten Son, if that Son then loved you so much that He would give you His life, you would have to say that there's no greater love than that, because the Bible teaches us, Brother Brian, that there is no greater love than this, that a man would do what? Lay down his life for you. So that would mean that grace is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, on this communion table, the only thing up here that was decorative was that big old potted, beautiful flower plant. And then we had a couple little tables here, a couple little these little offering plates on the table. We got a couple other clickers up here. But there's things all over the place up here. But what was our attention, what drew our attention here, Brother Jody, was that flower. Is that right? Bless God, should our focus not be on grace? Should grace then not be applied? Bless God, if you look at this, the only thing you see is a bouquet of flowers. But if you were to get up here and start to examine, and I even asked Brother Steve Fall, he was the only one in here whenever I come in, and I was looking at that little plant, and I was thinking about that plant as the way it would be used as an illustration. I said, Brother Steve, what do you see in that? And Brother Steve said, well, I see a beautiful little bird right there. And I said, well, what did that bird tell you? Brother, he said, that bird tells us that he's a pollinator, and what he's going to do, he's going to take little particles of this one, and he's going to fly over here, and he's going to drop them in that one. And he said, what that thing's going to do is he's going to spread that around. Next thing you know, I said, what's he doing? Brother Steve said, he's a pollinator. So as he starts pollinating these things, God, that's the same we are. That's the same way we are. Brother Varun, you're a pollinator. You stood up a while ago and testified. You're taking the grace that God gave you, and you're trying your best to implant that somewhere else. Why? Because you want somebody else to understand the beauty of what you have experienced. And I said, Brother Steve, look a little closer. What do you see? And Steve starts looking. He didn't really see anything. But then as I started doing this, I had stuck something down in the middle of that. And I had stuck some sunscreen right down in the middle of that thing earlier, and it blended in good because it was the same color as that plant. But let me tell you, bless God, grace not applied is not going to keep you from burning. I'm going to tell you right now, there is a literal hell out there, and bless God, if you don't apply that marvelous grace of God and His goodness unto you, you will burn in an eternal lake of fire. Brother, this thing right here, what it holds in it is a balm. It is an ointment. And if you put that, Brother Chris, on your body, what you're doing is you're protecting yourself from burning. And bless God, Miss Cindy had asked me, did you put on any of that goop? And I said, I didn't. And do you know what, Brother John? I paid the price for not doing that. Why? Because she had to then, for the next few days, wash my back in alcohol and aloe and try her best to put me in some kind of comfort. Why? Because I was tormented from being burned. Bless God, that's the same way that grace is. It must be applied to your lives. If grace is not applied, I can assure you upon the authority of God's word that, bless God, you, my friend, will suffer in an eternal damnation, and you will burn if grace is not applied. You said, then, well, how do I get this grace? I'm glad that you asked. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved. Is that not what the Bible said? Hath through faith. Oh, bless God, it's not of works. It's nothing I did. It's nothing Varun did. Brother Daniel, I appreciate your testimony, but son, it's nothing you did. There's nothing we could do to inherit that eternal life. We don't possess grace of our own. Bless God, it's borrowed. Just like the floating axe head, alas, master, for it was borrowed. It's never been ours to start with. Bless God, it's a gift, a free gift of God, and we just use it while we're here. This earth is our preparation ground. This time right now, in this body, that's the time that we prepare for that which is to come. And I can tell you, bless God, oh child of God, the best is yet to come. If you're saved by God's grace, and that beautiful thing called grace has been applied to your life, and bless God, you've just been covered in it. Bless God, it prevents you from burning. You won't have to die and go to hell if grace is applied unto your lives. So when you look up here, you better look a little closer at grace. See, you've been around it your whole life. We live right in the middle of the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're right. It's everywhere. I mean, Christian radio. You can YouTube it. You can Google it. You can search it. There's Bibles everywhere. Our brother Danny driving down the road and there's billboards that says, I love you. Sign to God. There's all kinds of things all around us that point us to this thing called grace. We're all around it. But how many of us have never really looked into it and said, boy, I need that on my life. Where would you be, preacher, without grace? Where would you be without that grace being applied? Miss Wanda, where would you have been, as Brother John asked last night, when you stood up and you testified about having MS and how that the doctor said that you can't do this and you need to abort that baby? Oh, bless God, let me tell you where you'd be. You'd be a murderer because you saw fit to abort your baby. And bless God, if you didn't apply the grace, you'd be headed for a devil's hell. Miss Cindy just says, did you put sunscreen on? When she asked that question, you others would ask that question, did you put your sunscreen on? Why would they even ask that? Why was you a mama when Lisa was little? Why would you ask, baby, did you cover up in sunscreen? Why would Brother Jamie and Miss Sandra McGuire say, Cassandra, you better put some sunscreen on? Why would she tell you to do that? Because she didn't want you to burn. Do we not care, Brother Jody, that people are dying and going to hell? Do we not really care, brother? If we did, we'd be saying, you need some sunscreen on. You need to be clothed in the Son of God and in His right. You need to be covered in it. Master God, you need to be saturated in it. You need to look at that thing called grace and take just a little closer examination, because the Bible says, but there is but one God. There is one God. Let me read this passage of scripture this morning. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, in chapter number 1, in chapter number 2, in the book of 1 Timothy. Now listen to what it says. There is one God. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It is Him and Him alone that we find this beautiful thing called grace. So I invite you. Everybody's already testified, been saying, come, come, do it today. Do it today. And Miss Macy just starts playing real softly. We're almost ready to go home. I invite you to look closer at this thing called grace. You look closer. Listen closer. Look closer into the songs that are in those books. What are they rejoicing about? What are the hosannas? What are the hymns? What are the spiritual songs saying? Brother Scott, I don't care which page you turn to. In our old King James Bible, they support these songs, and these songs back up that King James Bible. This song, I just opened it. I'm too near home. What's that one? It's to encourage you, Brother Brian, that you're too near home to turn back now. If you just flip the page, right here's one that says, oh, the old rugged cross, it made a difference. You just flip it anywhere. I don't care where it falls open. There's one that says, how great thou art. You see, what they're saying is this. Then came the morning. What you're saying is this, preacher. There is a test of time. And Brother Jerry, that grace that I'm preaching about right now, Brother Tommy, it has stood the test of time. Every agnostic and every hater, everybody's ever tried to tear it down. The Scientologists that have tried to discredit it, bless God, they've come up short. Why? Because it stood the test of time. The family of God. You said, what's that one about? It's about us that have applied that grace unto ourselves. I don't care where you turn. Right there's one, because He lives. Brother, I don't care where you turn here, Brother Jody. My hope is in the blood. It doesn't matter where I would turn in that book. It's pointing us to this collective thing called grace. I would invite you. They've already invited you. He's invited you. He's invited you. He's invited you. She's invited you. She's invited you. They've invited you. Brother Chris has invited you. We stand to our feet right now. And the Holy Ghost says, come. And the bride says, come. He that is athirst, come. As she's just playing real softly on that piano, why don't you take just a little closer look at this thing called grace? You said, that's so simple, preacher. I'm a simple preacher. This is a simple message. The Bible said you will accept it with a childlike faith. Is that simple? Can we all understand that if you don't put this on and you go out there and you stay in that sun too long, you're going to burn? That's common knowledge. You go out there and try it. Brother, you will burn. Without grace being applied, according to those scriptures, brother, you'll die lost and in your sins. And those sins will ever be before you. Brother Keith, he's going to say one of two things. He's going to say, come in or depart. He may say, welcome into the joys of the Lord, Brother Kenny Anderson. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. But then he might look right at you and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What would cause him to not know us? It's that beautiful thing called grace has never been applied. How about it today? Please. Please. As she just plays softly, we're standing. Please, I beg you. Apply that grace. There is a hurt. There is a sin. There is a remedy for that hurt of the daughter of God's children. It's in the book. It's called the Balm of Gilead. What is that balm? It's grace. Where do we get that grace, preacher? It's found in an old-fashioned altar between you and Almighty God. Just taking it, and I mean liberally, applying that stuff to your body, to your very soul. Just, Lord, saturate me in your grace. Cleanse me. Purge me with hyssop. Make me whiter than snow. Though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. They shall be as white as snow. How about it today? Get us a song out of this book. Where is your book? Let's get you a redback hymn. Don't turn to page 345. I was looking under the invitational songs. This is not even an invitational song. It's just a hymn. But the title of this song was, Where Could I Go? Where could you go? Bro Jody, where could you go that you can get what you get in Christ Jesus? Brother Kenny Anderson, you've been in this thing a lot longer than I have. Where could you go and have your soul's need met other than Christ? Where could I go? Where could you go? I'm not talking about coming to church. Miss Mary's already fixed that for you. She told you that church membership was not good enough to get you in. Brother Kippy, you testify to the fact that it's going to take God. So where are you going to go? Where could I go but to the Lord? As Brother Scott leads in this, the choir's here, you're singing. Everybody's singing. But please, come up, take a closer look at this thing called grace. Hardly a comfort can afford. Where could you go? Brother Brian, where are you going to go? Where do you go? Where do you go? Miss Cindy, where can we go? Where can you go? There ain't nowhere else to go but to Jesus.
Where could I go but to the Lord?
How about it, my friends? Anybody today that needs to come, this altar's wide open. How many of y'all have seen this thing set up here? Do you just kind of, it's part of the scenery now? I know things in here start to blend in on us. We played this game down in our Sunday school class last night, and it asked many things about the church. And it asked, how many stained glass windows are inside the church? That was one of the questions. We're all like, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14. We didn't know the answer to that question. Brother Jody, why wouldn't we? We're in here 3 times a week. Why would we not know how many windows? We don't look at that plant. It's beautiful. It kind of fits the decor. One of the questions is, which side of the altar, which side of the pulpit does the church covenant hang on? I know it's over there because I refer to the Ten Commandments all the time when I'm preaching. But if you ain't looking for it, it's just part of our decor. If you're not very, very careful, my friend, you'll come in here week in, week in, week in, and week out, and week out. And brother, you'll never be affected by this thing I'm preaching about called grace. You're all around it, but you're not paying attention to it. Brother Kenny, we're around it, but we don't look at it. We don't see it. Brother Kenny, you got saved by God's grace back in 71, 2, 3, whatever you said a while ago. Brother, you've been saved ever since then. Do you know why? Because you applied it. I'm asking you, please, sing the third verse of the same song. The third verse of that same song. Please, I beg you today.